Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Karrenton Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. Hopefully, you guys are having a fantastic day. We do not have a lot of time. I don't even really know where we should start today, Rob, because we have so few precious segments to give to the people today. Now, we will be back tomorrow, hopefully, before another Royals win. But let's start with the Kansas City Royals, because I think we saw the formula for the 2024 Royals earlier today in Milwaukee. Milwaukee is terrible. I am not saying that to diminish the Royals win at all. I'm saying that more as a, if you've been keeping up with the early part of the season, right now, Milwaukee might be the worst team in baseball. You know what the Royals or any team should do? Pound the Brewers. We saw the Yankees do that, and people were saying, oh, it's the bats. Oh, they're cheating. I can't believe the New York Yankees. No, the Brewers might actually be that bad. I mean, they're terrible. You want to know how the Royals made the playoffs in 2024? They took care of teams like the Brewers. Now, at times, they struggled against the teams that were over 500, and they treaded water against those teams. But when the Royals had a team that was as bad as this Brewers team, they went there and they won the series, or they swept that team. Continue that formula. Sure, you lost the weekend series against the Cleveland Guardians, and one of the problems that the Royals had last season were when they had those rubber games, they usually lost that third game. All right, well, that happens. The first series of the year. No one's drawing any conclusions. But through the first four games of watching this team, it's the same. So far, the Royals have been the same. And that's not bad. The Royals won 86 games last year and made the postseason and won a postseason series. They struggled against the team that we think they're going to have to compete with in the American League Central. They had it tied at 1-1. They lost the rubber game. They now went on the road to play a team that is playing as poorly as any team in Major League Baseball, and they smoked them. There is no reason right now to lose a series to this Milwaukee Brewers team with the way that they are playing. My message to the Royals is very simple. Keep a bad team down. Keep a losing team losing. That is all you need to do these next couple of days in Milwaukee. You got a fantastic pitching effort today, and the bats came alive. Jonathan India played well. Salvador Perez played well. Hell, everybody contributed to today's win. You need more of that. You need two more days of it. Do what you need to do. Take care of business, leave Milwaukee with at least a series win, possibly a sweep, and you move on to bigger and better things. Rob, as we are beginning today's show, that is only 30 minutes. We don't have much time today. I don't really think there's much else to say for the Kansas City Royals. The Brewers are awful.
The good news for the Royals is there might be multiple awful teams on their schedule. Like, as much as, and we do this in the NFL, we do it in basketball, we do this in every sport. We pontificate, we talk, we predict, you never know. The Royals play the Twins in a week. They're playing the Brewers now. The Twins are getting their doors blown off every game this season, too. They got swept by the Cardinals, and they got beat by the White Sox today. So you never know how it's going to shake out preseason, but beyond just the Brewers, keep, what's Denise saying? Keep losing teams losing?
Yeah, for sure.
Win a series against the Brewers, and at worst, you're 500. Figure it out. See what happens back at home against the Orioles, and then you play the woeful Twins, and suddenly you'll look up, and you'll be maybe two or three games over 500 by this time next week. Royals fans who were a little bit overreactionary after opening day would, you know, calm down. The Royals could be starting to settle into what we expect for them to be this upcoming season.
All right, I have to ask you this question. Now, I imagine that some of you are going to take this question as hating. I don't think it's hating. It is just a simple observation, and it is listening to what you guys tell me you think and feel about your team. The common sentiment from KU fans has been, Bill is really good with 3 and 4 year players. He has struggled in the microwave. Would you agree that that is the sentiment that most KU fans have had about their team?
That's a fair breakdown. The one and done era was not one where he thrived.
All right. So in the portal where it's kind of, hey, you grab as many pieces as you can, you try to put them together, KU has struggled as we are transitioning to the transfer portal era. I'm looking at this year's upcoming team. They have 5 kids that have transferred out. Rob, you and I know enough about the way that college basketball is working. They are not replacing them with 5 freshmen. They are replacing them in the transfer portal. So if you were telling me that one of Bill's biggest weaknesses is that they struggle identifying talent in the transfer portal and they desperately need the transfer portal to turn things around, how are they good next year? Because I'm looking at it. You had a McDonald's All-American big man. He is transferring out. Now, he says he might come back. You and I both know he is looking around for other offers when it comes to name, image, and likeness. And if there is a former McDonald's All-American who had a very promising freshman year that is going to hit the transfer portal, somebody is dropping off a heavy bag to Flory.
He also has a do not tag thing. He does a do not contact tag already.
So which then tells me he knows exactly where he is going, and that place is not going to be the University of Kansas. So you would assume that Flory is not coming back next year. You got to replace very, very good size then in the transfer portal. Ryland Griffin is not coming back next year. Coit, not coming back next year. Passmore, not coming back next year. Zach Clements, not coming back next year. KU is going to have to hit on 3 or 4 solid transfers next season. Are you confident that they have the ability to do that? Because in this transfer portal era where Bill has had to put a team together on the fly, they've struggled. They've struggled. Simple. They've struggled. They're going to need to do that this offseason. Are you confident that they can do that this offseason? Because I'm looking at the text line, let the offseason play out. I heard you guys tell me all season that Bill's not good in the transfer portal. If they are not good in the transfer portal this year, they cannot be good next season. It is impossible to be good next season if they're not good in the transfer portal. You got too many holes for next year. You got too many holes. You're losing your big guy. You're losing legitimate scoring from last year. Where are the bodies coming from next year's team? Are you worried about this KU team for this upcoming season and moving forward? Because their season is now relying on Bill overcoming what has been his weakness, which is hitting in the transfer portal.
So a couple things. One, I want to say this about Flory. It feels like, and we talked about it on the show last week, so this isn't me revisionist history. Oh, I hate what I said in the show last week. You know what I hate about college sports right now? It's the fact there's no free agency window and you can reach out to players while they're on other rosters and then they hit the portal and it's basically a foregone conclusion. I don't like that there's so much tampering. I always use Caden Green as my example. It feels like that's what happened with Flory. So as a Kansas fan, I don't like that. It feels like dirty pool.
That's 100% what happened.
That is the unfortunate nature of what's college. When you carry the do not contact tag, that feels like what happened, but that's neither here nor there. I just want that on the record.
And I don't think you're speaking out of turn. His statement that was released from his guardian, and now that we have the information that you have put the do not disturb on, you don't enter the transfer portal with the intention of coming back to Kansas if you're not going to talk to other players. That ain't how this works. That ain't how this works. If you are leaving Kansas with the intended purpose of shopping around and seeing what your value is, but you're leaning towards coming back, then yeah, you're listening to other schools offer. The moment you put the do not contact on, I expect Flory to commit to another school at some time by the end of the week. I don't think he's coming back to KU anymore. And I would say one of the hopes for this upcoming KU team is that you got Darren Peterson, a very talented point guard that is coming in, and you had a legitimate big where now coming back to KU, he had a chance to be one of the better bigs in the Big 12. I mean, he still might be one of the better bigs in the Big 12. That is, might be on Houston next year.
Now, to answer your original question, am I worried? The answer is no, but it's more so than I have been in the past. Maybe that's me riding the fence or hedging my bets, whatever you want to say. But Bill Self is still a Hall of Famer. Bill Self, even if you think he's diminished, is still one of the, what, top 10 coaches in college basketball. And, you know, despite his portal misses, has had a team that he added portal pieces to and won a national title with not so long ago. Remy Martin, Joseph Yesufu, like, there were pieces, albeit ancillary role player pieces, on that title team that he got in the portal. So am I worried? No. If it is a little bit alarming that the Flory Badunga left Kansas, but I'd also say, and Carrington, me and you know this, and this is the dirty part of college sports, let's be honest, outside of Flory, I think he's in a separate category. How many of the kids that left Kansas in the last couple days do you think were people that Kansas wanted back? Rylan Griffin was not a player that KU fans were like, man, I'm looking forward to the growth in year two. David Coit, I don't think KU fans ever thought he was coming back because he, you know, he gets the Diego Pavia rule, but I don't think he ever was a true fit at Kansas. Zach Clements, congrats on 2 years at Kansas. You didn't really do anything. I don't think Kansas fans wanted him back. Rakese Passmore, he didn't really do anything that flashed. Like, the dirty part of the portal, and everyone complains, oh, the portal is so bad because the players. The coaches might be pushing players into the portal as much as they're jumping in. So, Flory aside, because that one does feel like there was some tampering, I don't know KU has lost a piece they didn't anticipate losing at some point this offseason. So, I trust Bill because I think what is happening is all part of a larger plan. And when you see what Darren Peterson said today at the McDonald's All-American game about how he's not worried and the thought around Lawrence or Michael Swain, and is they're going to build around Darren Peterson? No, I'm not worried.
It will be a very interesting offseason for the Kansas Jayhawks. Very interesting. It feels like we are in the midst of a very pivotal time for KU. Very, very pivotal time. I will be very intrigued. You have a star freshman that is coming in. You also got the Bryson Tiller kid who's more of a big, and it usually takes freshman bigs a little bit to develop. The core of this team to me was supposed to be Flory and Darren Peterson. They were supposed to be kind of the what makes KU go for this upcoming season. It looks like that plan is changing on the fly. All right, coming up on the other side, NFL teams are arguing about the tush push. We'll get to it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with C-Dot on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. The Royals did exactly what the Royals should do. The Brewers are not a good team right now. They are playing very, very poorly. They have given up 46 runs so far this season. 46. They're terrible. The Royals did exactly what they're supposed to do in this situation, and they handled the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll see if they can do the same thing tomorrow. They got a great pitching performance. They took care of their own business. Great win today for the Kansas City Royals to get back to 500. Let's talk about what has turned into the top story in the National Football League. There appears to be a very solid debate right now over the tush push and the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, this is the thing that upsets me the most about this. I understand maybe why the Packers are against it. The Packers have had to play the Eagles in a postseason game. I get it. For the life of me, I do not understand Buffalo's objection to the tush push when they ran it the second most times in the National Football League behind the team that inspired the play. Like, can we not just step back and at least spot the hypocrisy from the Buffalo Bills And I'm listening to Sean McDermott, and he's doing his media availability, and he's trying to explain why he's against the tush push, but you ran it five times in the AFC Championship game. If you guys were better in the AFC Championship game, maybe we would have got a better Super Bowl out of it, but you guys couldn't run it effectively, and therefore, you got sent home. I get the Packers. Hey, this play beat us. It's a little bit of sour grapes. All right, cool. I disagree, but at least you can justify that to me. Why Buffalo has stood before the rest of the league and tried to outlaw this play while simultaneously running the play is one of the more hypocritical things I can ever remember. So if you guys want an update, the support is starting to grow. Like, I think they got a shot of getting the tush push out of here. Now, some of it to me is going to be, hey, they won their Super Bowl. All right, let's move forward. I think there is a little bit of hateration, holleration. They had a meeting on Sunday. Harry Roseman, he's the general manager, their assistant general manager, had a, quote, animated conversation with Sean McVay and Sean McDermott in a side hallway. Now, I don't know what side Sean McVay is on. I'm assuming he is against it. We know that Sean McDermott is against it. And after the meeting, Stephen Jones said, quote, we don't allow pushing and we're trying to be consistent with our rules. That's not what this feels like to me. That's not what this feels like to everybody else. This feels like a little bit of sour grapes. This feels like you guys are mad that they're better at something than you. And now you guys are going to team up to get them out of there. This is a legitimate debate that is happening right now in the National Football League. I don't know if they're going to be able to drum up enough support. They're going to need 2/3 of the teams to agree with this. And I think it is very, very split. Pittsburgh, for example, Mike Tomlin is for keeping the tush push. The Texans are also on the side of it. Obviously, Philadelphia will vote to keep the play in. There are going to be teams that vote yes, teams that vote no. We will see if there is enough support to potentially get this play eliminated from the NFL. Rob, as we get out of here, I'd love to get your thoughts on the Final Four that we had. This is the chalkiest Final Four we've had since 2008, the second time that we have had all 4-1 seeds advance to the final round of the NCAA tournament, to the Final Four. How are you feeling about the Final Four?
The tournament's been kind of boring, but I'm really excited about the Final Four because I saw a thing. It may have been Matt Norlander from CBS put this out. Man, 4 of the top 15 KenPom teams we've seen in the last 20 years are in this Final Four. Like, yeah, it's been a little chalky. Yeah, it's been a little lacking in, quote, madness. Yeah, there hasn't been that iconic moment. But you know what we got? Not only the 4 best teams in this year's college basketball, we got 4 of the best teams we've seen in college basketball in the last 25 years. Like, these are behemoth teams. Like, Houston's number one defense against their own offense in Duke. That's fascinating. We've seen Auburn and Florida once before, but I'm excited to see it again.
Yeah, that's going to be a good game.
Walter Clayton. I mean, I think the tournament has been largely meh, but a great Final Four can salvage it, and we feel like we have the makings of a great Final Four.
This is weird because I would say this. I think we all have to determine what you want the tournament to be. Do you want the tournament to be about the best players and the best teams? Well, that's what I think it is. I think that's what this tournament is. If you want to see the best players, the best coaches, the best team advance, that's what you have. Or do you want the tournament to be about the best stories? Because I don't think there's many stories that have come out of this tournament. There's not your Sister Jean. There's not your St. Peter's. There's not your Florida Gulf Coast. There isn't that storyline that has taken over. You know what it's been? Basketball at a really high level. It has been. You know what this has kind of been like? It's kind of been like the NBA playoffs. That's what it feels like. There aren't many surprises in the NBA playoffs. The best teams usually emerge. Now, it's changing a little bit because there's just more good teams. There's more good players than ever before in the league. But you guys follow the point that I'm saying. I do think we have to determine what we want the tournament to be. Do you want the tournament to be about the best teams and the best players, or do you want the tournament to have the best stories? Because this one did not have many stories involved in the NCAA tournament. I had a lot of fun. We didn't have a lot of time today, but we will be back at our normal time tomorrow. We'll have way more than what we had today. I appreciate you guys listening for even the small amount of time that you did. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.